let's go back. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder how did this get made. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, my name is Paul Scheer, and this is How Did This Get Made? I am joined every week by my two amazing co-hosts. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. How are you? And for the first time from New York via satellite, Jason Mantzoukas.
How's it going, everybody?
It's going very well. This is, again, we're doing cutting edge technology.
This is Star Trek, guys. Star Trek come true.
We have a very special guest today. He's a founding member of the Upright Citizens Brigade, an award-winning director right now for his new movie, The High Road, which will be coming out very shortly. Please welcome Matt Walsh.
Thank you, Paul.
Hi, June.
Hi, Jason.
Walshy!
Hi, buddy.
So,
how's it going?
Matt,
New York.
Matt said to us a while ago, I want to come on your show, and I want to do Love Guru.
Inspired by a $3.99 purchase at Vons. They had some DVDs at the counter, and Love Guru was there for $3.99. I couldn't say no.
And now,
Not at that price.
No, they win. They win at anything at that price.
Little did he know that this has been my like secret guilty pleasure of a movie, because I snuck into this movie and I saw the last 20 minutes and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I went back to see it again, went to go see it with a friend, and we were the only two people in the theater, sat dead center, and was my jaw was dropped the entire time. And I am obsessed with this movie. I mean, this is insane.
So you've almost seen it 2.5 times.
Oh, I've seen it 3.5 times, because then I saw it when it came out on video, and then I watched it again for this. Oh, I am fully guru-picked out. So, for those of you who don't know, this is the world the movie takes place in. Jessica Alba is the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. And the Toronto Maple Leafs has a midget coach.
Vern Troyer.
Named Coach Jerkoff.
And this is where you're starting?
This is our way in?
This is the war. I just need to set the world.
Okay.
This
sounds like the pitch meeting when he went into pitch.
Yes. Who is, they have a star hockey player on the team who is black.
Yeah.
And
impossible. The Tiger Woods of hockey.
And aren't there any other black players on the team?
There are no other black players in hockey.
Yeah.
Like, there are no other black people in this movie.
Yes.
His wife. Prudence.
Right.
And what we've learned very early on is that this star hockey player is having a hard time because his wife has left him for Jacques Lecoq Grand, who is played by... Timberlake is playing, and he has now got shaky hands. Yep. And so they bring in Guru Pitka to help solve the problem. Now that is just, that's scope. That's just telling you what the movie is
about.
Although,
by the way, I'm just realizing that only
makes it worse. That I'm like, you just confused me. You just confused me, and I just watched this movie.
But I'm just realizing Jessica Alba comes up with this plan to have the guru come in and save the day. Have we ever seen him help anyone? Like, is he known for...
He writes books and stuff. You set him up as like an author.
He has like a Tony Robbins platform.
Walsh, how do you know that he writes books?
Because they set it up in the movie.
Oh, no. I know it because every 2 seconds he's producing a book out of nowhere. Oh, okay. Literally pulling it from under tables, out from behind his back. And they always are titled the craziest things. Like, if your hand is like this, then your hand must be like that.
Yeah.
Stop hitting yourself. Yes. Seriously, stop hitting yourself.
Okay, this is the thing that I'm most confused by. They do a flashback to young Guru Pitka, who is young Mike Myers, like his face on a child's body.
That was disturbing.
I love that. That is so weirdo.
So super disturbing. So it's Mike Myers' head on a child.
It's a bobblehead.
This was the fucking weirdest thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
These scenes with Weirdo Mike Myers Head.
Weirdo Mike Myers Head. Now, Weirdo Mike Myers Head speaks like Mike Myers.
No accent.
And now, 30 years later, he has a very deep Indian accent for no reason. I didn't realize he wasn't Indian.
In case you're wondering, yes, there is the Guru Pitka's book club online.
Oh, really? My God, what do you mean?
That has all of the books... online.
Oh,
in a,
my God.
In a book club fashion.
Whatever do you mean by this?
So it's a joke website?
Whatever do you mean?
It is a joke website.
Oh, my God. I'm pulling it up right
this?
Now.
What's this? A dead one of these. Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Why are you still hitting yourself? I know you are, but what am I?
Oh, my God. Does it hurt when you do that? So don't do that. Oh, my God. And Guru Pika runs an organization called EIEIO, which it stands for something.
Yes.
Everything stands for something.
I hate this movie.
Oh.
This movie angers me and at every level. This is like every bad, like if like Austin Powers, I haven't watched it in a long time. I enjoyed it, but this is like the alternate of Austin Powers. Like every bad instinct is fueled here. I mean, and then there's just long times where he just plays sitar and he just sings songs. But there's nothing funny about it. It's not like a parody of it.
No.
Like he just sings 9 to 5.
I also could not believe I was watching so much hockey.
A lot of hockey. And a lot of, like, Mike Myers is great at those public domain jokes that we always do as kids, and he just puts them into his movies. Like, you know, the thing where you hold your finger.
Yeah.
And you look at it, then you get a punch.
Yeah, like, you put it near your dick, and you, like, ball gazer. And then you punch somebody in the shoulder. But it's, like, positioned as if he came up with that joke.
But, like, all those jokes, like, shut homo, say what? Like, all that stuff that you do in high school end up in his movies.
And they have no place in the movie. Like, literally, Guru Pika just performed this amazing ceremony to everybody and then goes, do I have any bears in the cave? And then they look in his nose and they're like, oh, you got a small little bear in your cave. Like, what?
I do want to talk about his character for a second, because is he supposed to be a guy who... Because everybody laughs after everything he says.
Oh, yeah. He's hilarious.
He's cracking people up. Yes.
No, he laughs after everything he says. He says a line and then mugs and laughs maniacally.
Yes.
Like, if you were like, this is a movie that's about somebody on the autism spectrum, I would be like, I get it now. You've now unlocked this movie for me. Because he obeys no social cues, doesn't understand how anybody is feeling. It's insanity.
I tried to keep count of the many times that he made an anti-midget joke, because Coach Jerkoff, amazing names in this movie, Coach Jerkoff, every time he's on screen, he's like, you're a midget. Hey, little shrimp. Hey, how is it down there? Oh, why are you so small? Hey, you're like an Academy Award. He literally is being so offensive to Vern Troyer.
It was actually really upsetting. And I got to say, Vern Troyer... Troyer?
Yeah, I guess.
Vern Troyer. This is going to sound terrible. He shouldn't speak in movies.
Why?
It's
because his voice is so high-pitched?
His voice is not, you guys, it's not right.
Well, I watched some of the press junket interviews around this movie, which are still on YouTube, and he was very honored that Mike chose a not normal-sized person to play a role like a hockey coach, because normally he plays an elf, or he plays... So he felt honored to play, like, a normal-sized person's role, which is a hockey coach. Like, he felt Mike Myers took a chance by casting a little person.
Oh, my God.
But then commented on it.
Something that normally would be played by an average-sized person.
Did he realize that he was given a tiny office?
He was...
Holy shit.
He was literally...
A tiny dollhouse office.
He's looking at the glass half full.
By the way, that scene in his office, which was to scale his size, was one of the best scenes in the whole movie.
I laughed. There are some laughs in this movie.
I think we should go over the laughs, because I did have a few.
I did have a few. And some of the dumb jokes, like the office scene standing up, very fun.
Yeah, I laugh. I mean, there is not without humor. I mean, it is not without elements that make you go, oh, this is the same guy who's created hilarious characters in Wayne's World and Austin Powers. But there,
when he says, am I being punked? There are jokes here and there. The Etch-a-Sketch line really made me laugh.
Mariska Hargitay once, I laughed.
Yes.
I laughed once at the Mariska Hargitay.
The only time I laughed is when it was Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But that joke didn't die. That went the whole movie. Mariska Hargitay had about 50 references.
So his mantra is Mariska Hargitay. So he says to everybody, he's like, Mariska Hargitay, Mariska Hargitay. And then he sees Mariska Hargitay and goes, Mariska Hargitay, Mariska Hargitay. But then does not comment that... Like, how did he come up with Mariska? It's not referenced.
There's no context. It's not justified.
Yeah, it's not. It's just like a funny thing that is then, like, I'm going to meet this person, but there's going to be
so weird about this movie is that it's not, I guess, like Austin Powers and other movies, like, you are existing in the sort of sketch world reality of it, but this movie is just like the reality is just, it's not a sketch reality. It is a bonkers, insane world.
Yeah.
I can't recognize people
enter and exit in this movie with a swoosh, like whoosh.
Oh, the sound effect. There's like chimes and dings and bells.
Well, every time he gets a boner, he hits the chastity belt.
Oh, yes.
The gong, every time he gets a boner. That was a big, crazy, the chastity belt storyline was very crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know why he had, who put it on him, his dad?
No, Sir Ben Kingsley played Guru Tuggin' My Pooda.
Tuggin' My Pooda.
The cross-eyed guru
who
gave him a chastity belt because he didn't know how to love himself.
And you guys, here's a question.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Did Ben Kingsley cross his eyes, or were they like contacts that made it look that way?
I'm going to guess contacts.
I hope it was contacts.
I'm thinking contacts.
Okay. Ben Kingsley, feel a lot better about that.
You cannot argue that Ben Kingsley is one of the greatest actors. Amazing.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
But there's a couple moments here when he pisses in a teacup, makes Mike Myers drink it, and then Mike Myers pulls a pube out of the teacup. Now, that's pretty gross, but not as gross as a scene in the movie where he tells Mike Myers he has to play a game called Stink Mop, where they all piss into buckets, piss mops in it, and then hit people in the face with piss mops.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. Like, that's one of those scenes that I found pretty sexy.
Well, that turned you on?
I gotta say.
I think it was the intention, right?
No, I don't think so, Jason. I think you might have a fetish.
Oh, okay.
But there was
because you say piss mop, and I'm like, sign me up. Why didn't I think of that?
There was so much weird, also like psychosexual Freudian weird shit going on. Like the fact that what the main character, the Romany Malco's main journey was to like tell off his mother, Mike Myers is so obsessed with his penis and other people's penis. Well, basically, like so crazy.
Romany Malco couldn't handle that Jacques Lecoq Grand had a very big penis. That was his big fear.
But also that Jessica Alba's like cursed. Like this, there's like a curse around this woman. Like everything
was so fucked up.
Well, that's true. And that's
once a month.
And she doesn't have a boyfriend. She doesn't have a boyfriend.
Right.
That was surprising.
Yes, she doesn't have a boyfriend.
Okay, that was crazy. We are to believe that Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
We are to believe that Jessica Alba is attracted to this man.
Jessica Alba is attracted to
craziest thing ever.
This man who looks like a bizarre, like guru, like he looks like what's the guy he wants to be?
Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Deepak Chopra.
He looks like that's exactly who he looks like though. Jason nailed it right there. But yeah, I was gonna say he looks like Deepak Chopra and Santa
Claus. Who Mike Myers is friends with? That's what inspired the movie.
Well, the whole movie. Yeah, I mean the whole
his
movie.
When his father died, he befriended Deepak Chopra.
What does Deepak Chopra think about this movie?
He's in it.
I know he's in it, but
he probably loves it.
Because it's like a loving tribute because Guru Pika is
not a loving tribute. It's a terrible tribute.
He's saying very positive things though.
I think Mike Myers tried to make a movie that sort of is pro enlightenment.
Yes.
In a weird way.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Which doesn't work with comedy.
No.
Comedy's all about judgment and hating things.
And he's right, like, all he does is like it's like a brainwashing you throughout the movie because it's sort of like saying you are you and you are other people can make fun of you but you can't make fun of yourself and it's like and then Jessica Alba's big moment at the end of the movie is like she has a line in like literally a physical line in the stadium where if the fans see her, they will attack her because they think that she has the Bullard curse.
Oh, right.
Because they can't. And then she finally steps across that line. It's very like 101 script writing. She walks across that line and everyone's attacking her. She's like, hey, shut up. Just shut up. You may attack me, but I won't attack me. And everyone's like, hey, she's right. And then it was like, that was like her journey. And she really wants...
The crazy one for me was when it's like Romany Malco has to face his mother to conquer his fear. And all he says is, I got it from here, Ma.
And he goes, I love you, Ma. And she goes, I love you too. What has happened here?
That was it? That's what he's been living under all of this time?
First of all, the mom. All right, so they said that Romany Malco has this really hard relationship with his mom. The mom never. He doesn't want his mom to see him play hockey, and so they go. Literally, they go to visit his mom, and the first line at a gospel choir, and the first line out of his mom's mouth is like, "Why don't you let me come? You see you play hockey." It's like, like there was no hello. It was like that's the.
It's right out the gate.
Yeah, that's the first line.
Let me see
you play hockey.
That's starting in mid-scene. That's good writing. You're starting in action.
Oh, my God.
Can we talk about... All right, there's so much to get at. But when Vern Troy... has to create a distraction. Has to create a distraction so that...
He has a heart attack.
Okay, but he says his
elephants onto the ice to fuck.
Okay, and then fucks with them and like shudders as though he's had an orgasm with them, which is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
If you didn't hear that clearly, Mike Myers brings out two elephants to fuck on the ice. That is the ending of the movie.
During the final game of the Stanley Cup series.
That was the penalty shot, right? It's the penalty shot.
Which everyone in the world is invested in, the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Because, the stakes are really high because we've set up that the circus is also in town, which is, I guess, why that other elephant was there.
Okay, and then is that where Vern gets slapped into the goal like a puck in that same moment?
But Vern Troyer has the line where right before, when Jessica Alba says to him, you have to create a distraction, he says, oh, I promise myself I'd never do this. and then pretends to have a heart attack.
Then he goes, hey, ref, I'm having a heart attack.
And then he falls down, and then
why did he promise himself never to do that?
Because you're flirting with death.
Why would he make that promise?
You're flirting with death. You're going somewhere.
What are the circumstances that he was like, you know what I will never do?
This is where I draw the line.
And then everybody
has a threshold.
You know what, Coach Jerkoff? You might be a lot of things, but you're not someone who fakes a heart attack.
Yeah.
That's not who you are, man.
They then take the paddles and they paddle him and he catches on fire and shoots away from the place where he was being operated on into the goal.
That's right.
Sets off the goal and the audience cheers.
Yeah.
Like the goal was scored.
Oh,
that's like a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Yes.
My God, my skin. Can we play this? This is a scene where Coach Jerkoff is getting pretty upset with everybody. Here we go.
Without three games because you decided you couldn't win without Roanoke. Oh. And you're just a stupid rich girl. You were born on third and you think you hit a triple. You don't know hockey.
Are you finished?
No. Now I'm finished. A picker.
Yes?
What's the capital of Thailand?
Bangkok?
Exactly.
Oh, he bangs him in the
cock. Sit down, bitch.
Stay down, bitch. That is the type of scene that you are getting throughout this movie. Are you finished?
He burps, he farts,
and then spits into a can.
It's really upsetting. Why would it make him fart like that? Okay, so this is the same man who said he was honored to be a part of this.
He was, because he got to play a role that is normally played by an average-sized person.
Well, let's talk about the seduction scene with Jessica Alba, where Guru Pitka serenades her with yet another song that is not funny, and then proceeds to give her... a lychee nut pancake.
Oh my gosh.
What was
the craze. What was it called? The nuts?
Crushed balls or
is nut that something sack? That exists? That
no.
Thing?
No.
Okay.
June, it does.
Sorry.
It's a delicacy.
Sorry.
It's a pastry scrotum in India.
Just so you know that what June was saying is so unbelievably ridiculous. What it was two lychee nuts in a pancake folded over so it looked like two low-hanging testicles that they then put a pickle in the center of. And
then they pound them with a hammer to tenderize them, and Mike grimaces every time they hit the balls.
Ooh, ooh, and then even Jessica Alba recoils at the...
And then when they put them
They put curlies on there.
Right.
They put curlies on.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, they put him
in hot oil, and he acts like it's burning him. It's so hot.
Yes. But yet he loves eating these testicles.
Yes, and then Jessica Alba says to him during that meal, I haven't laughed this hard in such a long time.
And that makes every character laugh. So they get into a bar fight with my good friend Rob Hubel and Daniel Tosh.
That was such a nice treat to see Hubel.
Oh, that was
movie.
Such a treat.
Rob Hubel and him, Rob Hubel, the Love Guru, and Romany Malkiel get into a bar fight, which gets so gigantic and blown out, and then they all get thrown out the windows, and then just laugh. Oh, what a crazy bar fight. And then they laugh. And that's the kind of stuff that I think is like that positive reinforcement, like a message of enlightenment.
Yes.
It's like, yes, we fight, but we can all be friends afterwards. It's
yeah.
Like,
I think weird. There was a message, yeah, outside of the comedy. Absolutely,
without a doubt, I agree. You were trying to make a point.
You were changed, yeah. Jason.
I was. I evolved at the end of this movie.
The jokes in this movie make Scary Movie and Epic Movie look a little subtle. Like that, like there are like some crazy ass things here. Matt wants to actually play a game with us.
Yeah, we'll keep points even.
All right, so here we go. So you set it up.
And you'll get a free UCB sticker, whoever wins. How about
fantastic.
That?
Oh, wow.
That's a great prize. All right, so I went to Rotten Tomatoes, and everybody, of course, gang piled on this movie. Like,
was it at 15%?
It's right. Good guess, Paul.
There you go.
But I was surprised that all these people who you don't normally see reviewing movies reviewing movies. Okay, so let's see. Here's the first one. If you're in the mood for a delightful tweak of today's self-actualizing new age, let's see. On the other hand, if you want to see gags about boogers, elephant poop, and mano a mano duels with mops drenched in urine, then this movie is for you. Who wrote that? Who wrote that review? That's the question.
I'm gonna go with Roger Ebert.
Wayne Dyer wrote that review, the self-help guru.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Here's another
Give us another, yeah.
Okay. This is just two-word review. Authentically repellent.
Deepak Chopra.
No. Pope Benedict.
No.
Whoa.
Why are these people weighing in on this?
I don't
this?
Know. The guy's got to run a church.
That's really weird.
The guy has to run a church.
He is the Pope.
Yeah, I know. Okay, here's a really good direct one. Allow me to say this very clearly. This is not a good movie.
Well, that has to be like the New York Times.
Richard Gere. Richard Gere wrote that one. And he's like into Buddhism.
Yeah, he's really...
Yeah, you would think he would be really into this.
I guess this is why these people felt like they needed to get it out there.
Nobody's got one right. Here's one. Okay, Myers has his head in the toilet more than the Florida State University freshman co-ed during homecoming weekend.
Well, I'm gonna now knowing a little bit about it, I'm gonna say that this is maybe a spiritual leader of some kind.
Oprah.
Dr. Phil. Close.
Oh, whoa.
That's a half
Very
point.
Very close. Half sticker?
I'll give you a half one. One more, or are you good?
Yeah, one
All right.
more.
All right. It's a rare film that makes a reviewer consider giving up movies altogether. My own Waterloo came 45 minutes into The Love Guru when I briefly considered stabbing out my eyes so that I wouldn't have to watch this anymore. This is a strange person who I can't believe he wrote this.
Oh, who?
Barack Obama wrote that one.
Oh, my God. Wait, Barack Hussein Obama?
Barack Hussein Obama. Like, why?
Oh, my God.
Why do people have time to get everybody gang tackled on this movie?
Let me ask you guys a question. How much money do you think this movie costs? Guru, the Love Guru, how much money? Anyone can take a guess at how much this movie.
Well, Celine Dion was in it.
I'm going to say it was made in 2000. I'm going to say $80
million. $80
million. That's what I was going to say.
Really? I think that's a little high. I'm going to say like $60
million. June is right. $62 million. And it made $32
million. Mm. Ooh.
So it lost money.
Yeah,
right?
It lost a lot of money, okay. I would imagine. And now, but you know, that was the funny thing too, is there are a lot of cameos in this. Jessica Simpson, Mariska Hargitay, Val Kilmer.
Some hockey players, Bob Prober, who's a big hockey player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kanye West.
But he could not get Oprah, and he could not get Celine Dion, both who have parts in the movie, but they're body doubled.
Yes.
I was confused, though, by the Love Guru's main principle of distraction, because he said he was trying to get Justin Timberlake to... like get away from Prudence. Remember that scene? It was right before Celine Dion, and he goes, "Oh, we'll just say Celine Dion's here." And he said, "Celine Dion's right there," and then she comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, was this planned? Where did she come from?
Okay, wait a minute. This is three quarters of the way through the movie, and you're going to nitpick the logic of this?
I'm sorry. I have a question about it.
The entire movie makes zero sense.
I'll tell you when I laughed.
They disappear. At certain points, they have smoke bombs and disappear.
Yes, but then sometimes it doesn't work because Ben Kingsley tries to do that at the end of the movie, and it just doesn't work.
To which Mike Myers says, sometimes it doesn't work.
Sometimes we run out of effects money.
our $62 million can get more smoke in this scene.
Oh, God.
I also found like the really gay, like there's a lot of gay jokes in here too.
Yes.
Like
it's
sure. like, hey, you like my shark skin jacket? It's like more like a gay skin jacket. Like, what? That's not even a joke. What are you saying? Like,
well, can we talk about the elephant scene for a second?
Yeah, oh, sorry,
on the ice?
Yeah, on the ice. So that one elephant is having sex with the other elephant.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, while Mike Myers is
raping maybe that other elephant, because they've never met. Those two elephants never met.
I don't want to get into whether it was consensual or not, but the girl elephant did turn around and she had big eyelashes on. And
like, before, no, she seemed to like it.
Before he mounted her, she did him. Give him an eyelash flutter. So it seemed like that was a yes.
They put the sound effect in of fluttering eyelashes, like twink, twink, twink. They did, like the cartoon sound effects from like Looney Tunes of like winking eyelashes.
Okay, but then Mike Myers on top of the elephant, the male elephant, while he's mounting and fucking, maybe raping, I don't know, the other elephant. Why is Mike Myers acting as though he's having sex with the, with what? With which elephant?
I would argue
you've set that up because he sort of pretends like those balls are his when they're pounding him. So he experiences things that aren't, you know what I mean?
Because of the chastity belt?
I'm just saying, I agree with Walsh. You know what I'm saying, Jason?
This is clearly set up. There's a pattern.
Yeah, there's a pattern.
I can't believe you didn't get that.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe you didn't get it.
You thought this was weird.
I didn't get that.
Maybe he has some sort of schizophrenia because he can't disassociate himself with reality. Like things that are happening outside of him, he thinks are happening. Yes.
Were you guys at all bothered?
Because he had sex with that elephant pretty much.
In his mind.
In his mind, he did.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Were you guys at all confused continuity-wise why the elephant didn't have the bumper sticker on his ass like he did in the beginning of the movie that said, ass, cash, or grass, no one rides for free?
Oh, my God.
Watching it three times now, he sets up elephants having sex early on in the movie.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
He says it, and then like a throw-off line, he goes, you know, did I ever tell you of the time when so-and-so and so-and-so were having a fight, and then two elephants had sex, and everyone stopped to watch it? Oh, my God, I did not catch that. Yeah, he sets it all up.
So that was the distraction. He knew everyone was
like, What bothers me about this movie is it seems like it was actually overly written, like almost slavishly written to like the guy who wrote Story. What's that guy's name? Robert McKee. It almost seems like all the pieces are in place. Like he has a journey, she has a journey. Yeah,
that's what Mike Myers was like super into like a lot of like
but then
Robert
tell
McKee,
me what
a lot of like story writing
that's
stuff.
Crazy though. Oh, yeah? So then tell me what the Love Guru's journey is, because
he wanted to be the next Deepak Chopra.
He can heal other people, but he has to heal himself.
He had to learn to be the first him. He says it at the end of the movie. He goes, I wanted to be the next Deepak Chopra, but I want to be the first me. And that allows him to go back to India and work on his voiceover machine set to Morgan Freeman.
Was that Morgan's voice?
Well, he hit this Morgan Freeman setting.
At the beginning. Yeah, but that's right.
And then later on, too. Okay, I don't know much about hockey, but all I'm going to guess is that a majority of the moves don't involve the puck flying and aerobatic. Like whatchamacallit, Romany Malco is like jumping over players. The puck is like rarely ever on the ice. It's like, this is the most acrobatic hockey I've ever seen.
Yeah, and a lot of hitting that didn't get penalized, too. There's a lot of guys getting flipped over their heads, and that's normally a penalty in hockey.
How about when the whole team just attacks Roanoke because Guru Pika, who makes one of my favorite things ever, a cotton candy beard.
What was that?
That whole sequence of him eating at the hockey game made no sense at all.
Well, and then, by the way, at the next hockey game at the Stanley Cup, they're like selling those beards at the concession stand because everybody's wearing them.
Everyone's a Guru Pika fan now because he got the couple back together. But then he decides not to go on Oprah. He decides to go and see his good friend Daniel Roanoke. Or is that his name, Roanoke?
Yes.
Did you guys watch the blooper reel?
No.
No.
Okay. The blooper reel.
The minute the credits started, real, what do you mean, I turned it off.
Okay, well, I guess blooper reel is probably too much to
outtakes?
Say.
Outtakes?
It is one outtake.
And
Uno. It is a Vern Troyer, and you hear the DP say, "Hey, Johnny, can we pull out a little bit on this shot? All I can see are asses." To which Vern Troyer goes, "Now you know what it's like." End of blooper reel.
Really?
That's it.
Well, no. Well, let's just say that before they cut out, after he says that, the crew starts laughing hysterically.
Oh, they let that play out.
They like it.
Which actually made me think, like, oh, this is how these movies get made. There was such, like, the camera goes down. That's how hard the camera guy's laughing. It's like people are going nuts over this.
Okay.
Do you think it's because something funny finally happened?
Oh, maybe.
Well, that's maybe. How do you make a comedy movie with no outtakes? I mean, clearly there's a lot of outtakes in this movie. You just pick that one 2 second scene. Like, oh, well, you either do it or you don't. You just
The fact that that's it is an indictment of the movie itself. Yes.
How about the scene when Justin Timberlake and Prudence are, like, there's a seduction scene between the two of them, and Guru Pitka's trying to get into his mansion and has to fight, what was that, a rooster?
A dangerous cock.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right, it was a cock, of course, yes. He fights him outside while the scene is going on.
Yes. And he escapes on an elephant.
Yes.
He bites its head off.
Yes.
And then he bites his head off.
And he walks in with so many feathers on him.
He walks in with the head in his mouth and spits it out onto the floor. And she is looking at him. And Galina goes,
"Wait, Jason, you're cutting out.
Yeah, she automatically recognizes him, Guru Pitka.
Yeah, he spits the head out onto the floor, and she goes, "Guru Pitka?" Like, totally normal that this is happening right now. I know exactly who this is.
Why did he have to sneak in? Because it was Lecoq's house?
Yes, because he needed to give her a note apology from note. Roanoke. And okay. and he did that
on the envelope it said, "Apology note."
Yes. Meanwhile, Jacques Legrand was off making a Canadian pizza, which was a Pop-Tart with ketchup on it.
Mm.
And, oh, my God.
Do you think the studio fought him on, like, the Canada of it all and the hockey of it all? Like, do you think that they tried to make it football or how do you think that went down?
I don't know. I think they were like, "You made amazing movies. We trust you that this works." And this one did not.
Do you think, though? I mean, really, like, they had to have known that this was a disaster in the making, right?
I think he's a pretty successful, like, auteur, and, like, he creates these weird worlds, so I don't think they knew.
I think that probably people were like, "I don't get this," but probably all of America will. Like,
yes.
I think, like, everyone probably was thinking the same thing, and then when no one got it, it was
but
like,
I also think there were, like, little footholds, like, they knew, he probably pitched the Mariska Hargitay joke, and we're like, "Well, we know we have that. That'll be funny."
Yeah, we'll always have that.
We'll always have Mariska.
Well,
always have that.
Well, I mean, he did this. He premiered this character in New York City doing, like, these live lectures, which they keep in the movie. It has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. He gives like a lecture for like 5 minutes, just like a PowerPoint presentation. It has nothing to do.
Acronym after acronym.
And which brings us to the terrible names. Now, we had a contest set up with you guys. We asked you guys, there are some terrible names in this movie. Names like Jacques Lecoq Grand or Coach Jerkoff. Oh, actually, his name is Punch Jerkoff, according to the IMDb.
Okay.
Dick Pants. Guru Tugging My Puda, Guru Hairing My Keister.
Yes, that was one of my favorites.
Oh my gosh, those are the kind of the best ones. We asked you guys.
Who was Dick Pants? I'm sorry.
That was John Oliver.
Okay, he was John like Oliver. The lawyer somehow?
Yes,
agent.
Yeah.
The agent. Worst you. Use of hilarious Daily Show correspondence, this movie.
I thought Stephen Colbert was very funny.
Gaffigan and Colbert, like, I feel like
really
they came in and none of the bad juice rubbed off on them. They like did one day.
Well, they probably never met anyone.
Yeah, right?
They shot in New York. Like, I feel like they were not a part of the rest
funny.
Of this movie.
Yeah. But we asked you guys to come up with your own love guru names, and here are some of our favorite ones.
You've got mail.
You guys inundated us with amazing names, and you actually even gave us some occupations on the names, too. For example, Daniel Gomez said, "What about a TSA agent named Pat McGroin?" That actually seems like it should be in the movie. There's another great one that Vic Baldry gave us, just called Anita Go For A Dump. Anita Go For A Dump. there's also a character that Justin Lev submitted. His character should simply be named a hon job. A hon job, so people can say how much they love or need a hon job. Now, I guess it would be an Indian character, which would fit into the Love Guru universe. Colin Denny came up with a proctologist character called Dr. Poofinger, which is always great. And finally, Dan Lebrecht came up with just a very simple, my itchy crotch. And if it looks on paper, it's my itch. E is the middle initial, and crotch, my itchy crotch. There were some great ones in here. And thank you for submitting all those to us, and continue to keep on writing on our Facebook page or on our earwolf.com page. Also, a big shout out to Jessie B over at HostGator. She helped us out big time launching the Earwolf site. Speaking of which, Earwolf site, it's brand new, it's awesome. Be downloading some of the new shows, be downloading them. So don't even say you should be, just going to be downloading them. Be downloading some of those shows, and also we're accepting donations. It feels terrible for me to ask you for money, but I'm not asking it for me. I'm asking it for Earwolf. Someone's here with a knife to my throat making sure I ask you for money, and I'm doing it. And thank you all for all your great suggestions. That brings us to the end of viewer mail and your dumb, dumb Love Guru names, which were great, not dumb.
Well, why didn't the sportscasters have funny names?
Well, here, are these funny names? Jay Kell and Trent Luters?
No. Those aren't funny names. I think those sound like standard hockey announcer names.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe because Mike Myers didn't give it to him. I do remember when Rob Hubel was off to go do this movie. He was leaving Human Giant to go shoot it in Canada. And Aziz and I were looking through the script and going like, Coach Jerkoff, and just reading the lines out loud and going, this is going to be terrible. And then Rob defensively grabbing the script and going, no, it's not. It's Mike Myers. It makes funny movies.
He does, though.
He does. Any final thoughts?
Ben Kingsley farting was not okay.
Yeah.
It was not okay.
I think Ben Kingsley pissing into a cup and making people drink it was kind of worse.
I think the lesson is enlightenment and comedy don't go hand in hand. I think that's the flaw. That's the tragic flaw. You can't teach people anything. Just make them laugh.
Agreed. Yes.
And that's
Agreed.
It.
Yeah. There has to be some cynicism in it.
Yeah.
Because everyone was happy.
If your character has to laugh all the time to let the audience know that you
laugh. Yeah.
That's if you need your character to be the applause sign of the movie, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's a good one-on-one lesson.
I think I'll never forget the moment in the movie where Vern Troyer is sitting Indian style, turns to Jessica Alba and goes, if I keep on sitting like this, I'm going to pop my dick bag, and then falls over. And then he reprises the fall at the end when he smokes a hookah too much and then also falls over again.
I'm sorry, one more quick thing, just a quickie. Mike Myers traveled around in this movie on an electronic
pillow. Oh, I laughed. God. I got to laugh the first time out of that.
All right.
I have to admit.
All right.
How about when he has a big fight with somebody and then he runs back into the scene to get his Cinnabon?
I don't.
How about when they get in the enormous bar fight and he has Abner Louima style a plunger handle stuck up his ass?
Oh my God!
I'm like, how does that happen?
Just make it that
he's
that,
culture jamming. He's just talking about what everybody's thinking about in America.
The
he's
bar fight, the bar fight, which also includes little girls, like schoolgirls, and then like, and also a hilarious a switcheroo. A big guy bumps a little nerdy guy, and the little nerdy guy's like, "You're pissing me off."
Yeah, there was shit in here that was like straight up like airplane movie style crazy.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Oh, I also laughed though when he danced into the choir scene. I laughed very hard at that.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Well, Guru Pika, Love Guru, I suggest you watch it because you will be blown away. We only touched the tip of the iceberg here. As always, go to the brand new earwolf.com. It's cool. You can leave messages and comments. And you can always visit us on our Facebook page and on our Earwolf page. Plugs. There are plugs times now. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Scheer. And June?
Miss June Diane.
Matt, what would you like to plug?
Mr. Matt Walsh at Twitter is good.
I love it. And you're coming up in the new Armando Iannucci show, Veep, right?
Veep. We film in the fall, yeah.
That's going to be
awesome. Very excited about that. And
Jason, what do you got?
I got nothing to plug. I'm not on Twitter. I am.
You're not on Twitter?
I'm not on Twitter at all.
Wow. No.
Michael Keaton just got on Twitter, man. You got to get on Twitter.
Jason. Oh, man. Now I got to do it. See, I've been waiting for him. He's been my reference point. So now that he is, then I'll do it.
He's the tipping point.
But I'll plug Bob Duca's Twitter. Everybody should read Bob Duca's Twitter.
Oh, yeah. And Bob Duca's new show here on Earwolf. Bob Duca has a show every day of the week, Monday through Friday.
Bob Duca's Twitter.
The Daily Affirmation.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, oh download it. It's amazing.
It made me laugh out loud earlier in the week. There was one about making a scene at a puppet show.
Oh, that was my favorite. I laughed hysterically. Like,
my apologies to the people at the Bob Barker Marionette Theater. I thought they were attacking me. it's amazing. Seth Morris is hilarious.
Brilliant.
And Bob Duca is a character that I would love to watch for 88 minutes more than the Love Guru. Thank you to our engineer, Doug, for always being amazing. And I think what better way to leave than to be taken out by Mike Myers on sitar.
Oh, thank you.
This is a terrible way to leave, by the way.
If you are thinking there will be jokes, there aren't.
That's a great way to go into this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that mindset?
Literally, four sitar jokes. Four sitar songs.
Yeah.
Full songs.
That's so crazy.
One of which is 9 to 5.
That's the opener.
That's the opener, right?
Yeah. Like, why? Why 9 to 5?
Because he's at work.
Oh.
I think it's an unlikely choice, maybe? I don't know.
But who do you guys think is better, Cameron Diaz in Any Given Sunday as the coach of a football team or Jessica Alba as the coach of a
hockey
team?
I thought Jessica Alba did a fine job.
Yeah.
I really did.
Thank you, Jason.
I thought she did a fine job.
Okay. Sure.
You watch this movie too early in the morning.
Okay.
All right, thanks. That's all the time we have. How'd this get made? Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The Wolf Day.
This February, true legends from the worlds of comedy and music will unite to form the Supergroup. I'm Tawny Newsome. On every episode, me and my co-host, Alex Kleiner, will invite our talented friends to write and record an original song with us over the course of a week.
You'll hear every step of the process, from writing and rewriting to recording and mixing. Songs with Open Mike Eagle, Paul F. Tompkins, Ted Leo, Woo! Sashir Zameda, Janet Woo! Barney, and more.
The Supergroup. Join the band February 6th on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.